In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, worship team. Let's go ahead and stand. This morning, we're so blessed to have each of you here, and hopefully during our time of greeting, you felt a sense of love in the presence of the Lord. It's a family service this morning. That means that our 5K through junior high are in the sanctuary here with us this morning. So thank you. We're so glad that you're here and a part of our Sunday service here, and the rest of the children are in back this morning. We'd ask you to open up your Bibles if you would. If you have your Bibles with you, we've been going through a study in the Gospels, looking at the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. This morning, we're in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and we're thinking about Jesus again this morning. Of course, as we look into the Word, He is the Word, but thinking about Jesus as our Lord, as our Shepherd, as the one who wants to take care of us, as the one who wants to feed us. And I pray, along with myself, that when we leave here today, we would be saying in our hearts, the Lord is my Shepherd. The Lord is my Shepherd. The Lord is my Shepherd. The Lord's in control. He's my Shepherd. Hey, I need your help before we even start. So this section over here, it's really easy. There are two words. The two words are take me. Can you say take me?
Take me.
Yeah, I like that. The middle section, your words are two. They're a little bit more meaningful. It's called break me. Say break me.
Break me.
What a hesitation there. Take me, break me, make me. Say make me.
Make me.
Now let's do it really quick here, okay? Do you really want to stay for the study? Now, let's look here and see. This is what we have to think about this morning. From God's Word, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, this is, before I even read it, just to let you know, of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's one miracle that's in all four Gospels, and this is the one. It's the one that you probably learned at a very young age or in your early Christian life. You heard about this account. This is where we're at. Aside from his, you know, death, burial, and resurrection, which is in all the Gospels, but as far as his ministry miracle in all four, this is it right here. Now, let's look and see. Here's what the Word of God has to say in Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 10. It says, "And the apostles, when they had returned, told Jesus all that they had done. And he took them, and they went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And then the multitudes, they knew it, and they followed him, and he received them, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to where away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitudes away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he, Jesus, said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than five loaves and two fish unless we go buy food for all these people, for there are about 5,000 men. And then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and they made them all sit down. And he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to his disciples and set it before the multitudes. And they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. So we'll pray. Father, we are so thankful, as Sean had mentioned in the prayer and in our worshipful songs, we're thankful for you. That God, even in the midst, as the prayer was stated, even in the midst of circumstances and situations, you are here with us. The Lord is our shepherd. We pray, God, that you would bless the teaching of your word, that you would break it open for us today, that the great shepherd would feed us from his word today, that you would make us into your disciples more than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, just welcoming you. We are going through the Gospels in a chronological way. We are in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John today, looking at Jesus and this public ministry. The crowds are great. So in his ministry, the crowds are growing. They have heard his words, the Sermon on the Mount. They've seen the great things he's done, calming the storms, delivering people, healing people, raising the dead. Jesus is on the move. Jesus is working. And so if we look earlier in chapter 9, in verses 1 through 9, prior to what we just read, it's important to see that he has his 12 disciples, and you would underline 12 disciples, because we'll notice in verse 10, he says, and the apostles. So it's interesting. Listen now, every one of you, as followers of Jesus Christ, you're also called his disciples. Amen? So you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Some people may say, well, what are you? What brand of Christianity? What brand of religion are you? You say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's accurate and it's clear in that. So every follower of Christ, when you're seeking Christ with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're a disciple of Jesus. Now, he uses the word apostle. So a disciple, by definition, is a learner. We always want to continue to learn, don't we? If we stop learning, we're in trouble. We're always learning. The word apostle means sent. So the apostles were the sent ones. Now, we know that there's 12 apostles, and we see as God had called these apostles with a sense of apostolic authority, sending them out as the church was formed. But in the same way, we are called to learn, and then we are called to move out, sent by God. Now, when we're looking here at this text right here that we're reading right now, and we see again in chapter 9, just to get an understanding, they had been learning, and it's so important to learn. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But as we learn, we must go into action. Learning without application, like, where's our faith? Where's the reality of what we believe? So we base what we believe upon God's word. Amen? Our foundation is in Jesus Christ. So we take in the word of God, and it builds and establishes us. But we have to move out for the things of God, sent by God, to live that Christian life. And as we begin to live the Christian life, then we face opposition. Then we face circumstances. Then our faith is tested. Do we really believe what we said we believe? Are we really in love with Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are we in love with some other thing or some other one greater than our love for God? So he sends them out. Again, in chapter 9 of Luke, he has given them authority. They can cast out demons just like he has done. They can heal or cure diseases just like he has done. And they're called to preach the kingdom of God. Salvation, the Messiah is here, repent. So they were out on their journey, and that's when they're coming back in verse 10, they're coming back from this journey, this experience that they had, these 12 on their own. By the way, at the same time, to add into this scene, Herod has become alert. Herod is the leader, the ruler. Herod is not a nice guy. His family isn't a nice family through the history. And so Herod, he has already taken care of John the Baptist, since we have other younger people in here this morning. You know what I mean? So John the Baptist is off the scene, and Herod is wondering, because he has heard about this person, Jesus. Word's out. This person with authority. This person that's doing dynamic things. This person, who is this person? Herod wants to know. Herod wants to know. Is it John the Baptist? He is frightened. Is John risen from the dead? I heard that this Jesus raises people from the dead. Is John back to life? He's wondering. Or could it be Elijah? Maybe it's Elijah, because in Malachi, it spoke about a sense of Elijah coming before this particular time. Or maybe it's one of the prophets back in Deuteronomy. It states in Deuteronomy, such a day would be taking place. He doesn't know. He's confused. I love Jesus' response. Did Jesus go and evangelize Herod? No way. Herod wanted his life. Later on, you'll see in Luke's gospel that when things were coming to the end, and Pilate and Herod had a meeting together about Jesus, Herod was excited because he says, finally, I can meet this Jesus, and maybe he'll do a trick for me. A trick. He was a very wicked and deceitful person. Jesus knew that. That's what's happening. Now, these apostles come back, and in our text in chapter 9 and verse 10, I love what Jesus says, because when they returned, he was excited. He greeted them. He was excited to see them, and he took them aside privately into a deserted place. An author from the past says, if you don't come apart and rest, you will come apart. So it's important. Do I need to repeat that? Didn't seem like much of a reaction. If you don't come apart and rest, you will come apart. In other words, yes, it's important for us to find time to be with Jesus as a refuge, as a strength, and it's something for all of us, myself included, to do it with greater frequency, greater diligence and purposefulness. So Jesus says, men, you've just come back. I want to hear about your experience. You were preaching the gospel. You were casting out demons. You were healing the sick. I want to hear about it. Come on, men. Let's go to this deserted place. Let's go to this place where we can be alone and they could fellowship with Jesus. Exciting, right? And so that's what's happening. However, in verse 11, it's interesting because there is an interruption that takes place. I thought we were going to get to be with Jesus, just with Jesus. But it says, when the multitudes knew it, they followed Jesus, and he received them. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. He healed those who had need of healing. Wait a minute. Jesus, wait just a minute. This is our time. And these multitudes, you know, we've been ministering to them. And you promised us this time to be away with you. A time to just abide with you and be with you and be restored. And we see off in the distance this crowd coming. It's a big crowd. It's no small crowd. It's not just a couple dozen people. The scriptures specifically say 5,000 men, but it doesn't say women and children. So in reading and studying and seeking counsel on this in a very conservative way, most Bible teachers would say there'd be 10,000. Some would say up to 15 or 20,000. For the sake of just moving down that conservative lane here, there's 10,000 people, let's say, that are there. Because it says men, not women or children. It's a big group. You understand? It's a huge group. And they're there. And they've heard about Jesus. They've seen Jesus. And they're looking to Jesus. They want to hear from him. And they have need. And the other Gospels, remember, it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So the other gospel digs in a little deeper. When Jesus saw them, it says he was moved with compassion. And he saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. Lost. That's how he saw them. He was moved. And because of that, it wasn't time to take a nap or a rest. It was time to respond to what God was wanting to happen. He brought the word. He preached the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is here. He preached it to them. People came and they had need and he met those needs. He ministered to them. I'm sure the disciples were looking and thankful. It reminds us, most all the vacations, you know, we go on. But when we go, we always pray because we know that God's going to bring people and situations our way. You say, well, but you're on vacation, and I'm not a union pastor. So you know that, right? We're here to serve our King. I'm not a martyr either, but we are open for what God has. And we could tell you dozens and dozens of situations that we find ourselves in because even though we're in a place of really seeking God for rest, he will provide opportunities that we respond to, and just so many of them. I remember one time we were eating, and the waitress, the server coming, and we'd gone to this place a couple of times, and as we talked to her, even the first time, and she's looking at us, and God gives you gifts, by the way. So God gives you gifts of knowledge, understanding. God gives you things you need to know that about somebody that they haven't told you, but you're in the know because God gave you what you needed to know. We're helpless. We do. So explain. Perhaps this may be your situation. I remember, did my parents send you here? Did my parents send you here? Like we're in a different place called Hawaii. No, your parents didn't send us here. We're here, but God sent us here today to talk to you. And she's just totally crying. You know, you're praying for waitresses in the restaurant. I mean, it's amazing. And we have all kinds of situations because God wants to work. Now, when you see what's happening, the disciples in this situation, and it's a great scene that's taking place, but you see right here as it's happening in verse 12, it says clearly that when the day began to wear away. I mean, it's getting late in the day, and they give us a little bit more of the circumstances. So in a real clear way, these disciples, I think they're sincere. I think they care. I think they see what's going on. They see 10,000 plus people here, and they realize we're in a deserted place. And excuse me, Jesus, excuse me. Can we just have a minute with Jesus right now? I know you guys all have needs. Can we have a minute? Jesus, 10,000 people. I'm not sure if you set your clock ahead or back, but it's getting late. We're in a deserted place. We don't have the RAI camp facility here or anything else. We're in a tough situation. These people are hungry. And I know the hungrier they get, the grumpier they're going to be. I mean, Jesus, think about Moses with all those people in the wilderness. They complain, complain, complain. We don't want them to complain. So Jesus, I think here's the plan, Jesus. I don't know if you thought about this yet. I know you're about your Father's business, Jesus, but maybe, think of this, let's just send them away. Bye-bye. See ya. How's that sound? That's a good one, isn't it? Bye-bye. They're gone. Can we do that? And Jesus says, well, actually, this is a problem. It is a problem. It is a situation. I'm wondering, why don't you take care of this situation? Why don't you provide the solution for this situation? Evidently, you look at all this as a big obstacle, and I look at it as an opportunity. So why don't you guys take care of it? See what you can come up with. And in a short while, they have all of a sudden this, I don't know how this little boy gave his lunch of some bread pieces and a couple fish, but they have it, and they bring it to Jesus. So here's the situation, Jesus. Thank you for delegating it to us. One, you can send them all away. Two, we can have a fundraiser because in the other Gospels it tells us that they checked the money they had and it was enough to go in and buy some food, but not nearly enough bread for everybody. So we can, one, send them away. Two, have a fundraiser. Three, take this little bit of food from the boy and see what will happen with that. And Jesus says, well, how about four? What's four? Well, what's for is this. Again, I see these people as people in need. These are people I love. These are people that I see way beyond the hunger. The hunger is a physical need. I see that. As a matter of fact, in John's Gospel 6, he says, as he's speaking, he asked, to go find what you want. And he said, he asked this to test his disciple because he already knew the solution. Now, wait for 1 minute here. We're going to get back, but there's a little application right here, a little nugget for everybody right here. Think of your situation right now. Think of the heightened problem that you have. The problem is getting greater and the solution is getting less. You're in this situation right now. So according to the scriptures, Jesus already knows the solution. Listen, he already knows the solution you need. He's not confused, by the way. He's not worried. He's not full of anxiety. You know, he's not doing anything other than wanting to know if we'll come to him with everything. That's what he's wanting. So right now, just know that the solution, the answer is already known by God. He already knows it. And I believe he wants you to lead you to it. I believe he wants to lead you to it. Okay? So take that right now. That's just weighing you down. Let's give it to the Lord. So here is what we need to see when we talk about take me, break me, and make me. When we see here in verse 13, he said, Jesus speaking, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there was 5,000 men. And Jesus said, make them sit down in groups. And when they did so, and they made them all sit down, Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish in verse 16. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So you're looking at your situation and you realize that your provisions can no way meet the need that is there. The need is very real. It is a very real need. And here's your provisions. They're right there. What are you going to do? Number one, you got to take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Okay, check. Got it. No, I don't think you got it yet. You got to take everything to the Lord. Everything to the Lord. Well, no, I kind of arrange things, you know, see, this is for that over there, and that's for over there, and this is for over there, and this is where I have this. And God says, no, take everything I've given to you and take it to me. Take it to the Lord. Take it to God. Take everything. When they brought the fish, do you think the little boy had a second backpack with more food in it and say, well, I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm set up in case it doesn't work. He didn't do that. He took it all. We're not willing to take it all. We're not willing to give Jesus all. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to him. We're not desperate yet. I speak of that in a general way. I'll put myself in the statement. I see the things that have gone on in our world, as you have as well, and how punctuated they've been over the last many months. Catastrophe after catastrophe, whether it's a national thing, whether it's hostility amongst nations or individuals. But you know something? I have been very thankful for the Christian church that has responded immediately to situations. Christians are on the scene right away helping with prayer and practical needs. Praise God for that. But my friends, the body of Christ has not become desperate for Jesus Christ. It's not desperate for Christ. It's not. We're not like, I'm desperate. I wouldn't miss a prayer meeting. I'm just desperate. I need to be. You see, these people are desperate. They're desperate. And when we're desperate for Jesus, things happen. When you're desperate and he gives everything, he lays it down. He says that he wants us to become a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is reasonable service. So it's giving our Lord our lives. Because everything we have, we've received from him. So everything we have, it's not like, well, that's mine. Stop it. It's his. Everything is his. Everything we have is his. Everything is his. And this attitude of thanksgiving, we must be thankful. God, everything I have is from you. Everything I have. And so Jesus says, I am willing to do something if you're willing to lay it down. If you're willing to lay it down. Well, those are my plans. That's my agenda. That's my future. That's mine. Mine. Just lay it down. I'm going to tell you right now, it is so liberating to lay it down before the Lord. But no, just lay it down. Just lay it down. Just say, Lord, you've made me. You know what's going on. You know the answer. I've been battling with my own mind and my own will and my own things. God, I'm getting nowhere except more frustrated. He says, well, just lay it down. Bring your fishies and your bread to him. Bring it to him. Because listen, what's he going to do? He wants to bless you. He says he wants to bless you. But see, something has to happen first. And it's called brokenness. I'm not going to be broken. That sounds weak. You go ahead and think that way. God said he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The most approachable person in your life right now is somebody that is humble and has been broken and is understanding that they're absolutely in desperate need of God and of Jesus to do something every day desperate. Those are people that you're attracted to. You're not necessarily attracted to somebody that has a different type of personality. And God says, listen, you take what you have and you put it here. And there's this work called brokenness that takes place. Just like I broke the bread, I put a blessing upon it, and it went out, and there was more than anyone could imagine. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond, all that we can ask or think, according to the riches in Christ Jesus. He wants to do that. Amen? He wants to do that. He wants to do that. And you say, well, then why doesn't he do it? He's asking you to cooperate in this. You see, when he saw the 5,000, 10,000 people, how many? So many thousands of people. When he saw them, he could have done many things. He could have just said, he's all powerful. He can just say, hunger pains dismissed in the name of God. He could have did that, right? He could have said, you thought manna in the wilderness was great. Watch this. Meals for everybody. Just, he could have done that, right? He could have. He could do anything. He says, well, actually, what I want to do is because I see sheep that are lost and without a shepherd, I'm trying to train others for the future. I'm trying to train them to go out and to be shepherds, to care for people. And to be moved with compassion and not moved by your schedule. When we're moved with compassion, our schedule is interrupted. We no longer live the convenient Christian lifestyle. We live committed to Christ and whatever he wants. So he has a big picture here. And there's many things he could have done. But the Lord, he sees the present. He sees so far beyond. Because listen now. Let's just say, nice try, Pastor. Kind of love the rhythm in the beginning. You kind of got me involved. I know your tricks. Take me, break me, make me. I wish I could get that out of my head. Why'd you do that? Listen. Here's the thing. Later on in John 6, so in John 6 is where we have this incident as well, this account. I don't call it stories because story has a connotation of make-believe. This is an account, a literal account, an event in history that took place. But, you know, for us as Christians, and we believe in end times, you're familiar with the number 666, aren't you? How'd you jump from bread to 666? Well, 666 in Revelation, we know that that has a number to do with the Antichrist and end times, whatever. But when you see 666, you're always kind of like, yikes, that number has meaning. So in John chapter 6, verse 66, 666, listen. He said he's the bread of life that came down from heaven. He says, if you want to follow me, you're going to take my life and follow me. And at that point, in John 6, 66, at that point, all these multitudes of people fled. What? We just thought you were a great lunch truck and a great healer. And, well, I am that, but I'm so much more than that. I want you to experience what it is to have a life in me. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave his life for me. That's what he's going towards. He's the bread of life who came down from heaven. John 6:6. Multitudes took off at that point. It's the saddest, one of the saddest verses in Scripture. That's when they left. What? After everything? Gives me hope. I see a lot of people come and go. Listen, people left Jesus because it was about a walk and a life dedicated to him and his purposes and his kingdom. So much so that he looks at his apostles, Peter in particular, and he says to the group, do you want to go also? Remember, Jesus ministers with an open hand. You're free. You can walk away from Christ anytime you want. You're free. You're no puppet. It's your will. He says, you want to go too? Peter responded, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you alone have words of eternal life. We come to know and believe that you truly are the Son of God. Amen. So, we take our lives, everything about our lives, and we bring it before the Lord, our holy God, a Lamb of God. We take our lives and we give it to him. Present yourself to the Lord, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Take your life to him. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He's prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Take your life, because there's some brokenness that needs to take place. It's a good word. It's a liberating word. To cast yourself upon Christ, to be broken before Christ. You see, if we're not broken before Christ, if the Word of God doesn't break our hearts, if the Spirit of God isn't, in a sense, moving and breaking our hearts, I wonder what our spiritual pulse really is. Jesus would say in the end times, if you don't cast yourself upon him, the rock, and be broken, then you go live a prideful life, because the rocks will come and crush you. Not a good scenario. Cast yourself upon him, the rock. Then he will take these pieces of your life and he will put things together. He will bless. He will multiply. He will make something of your life, a testimony of your life, so much so that Paul himself would say at the end of his life, wow, I came to crucify the followers of Jesus. I hated them. I despised them. My mission was to destroy the church, make havoc of it, and take out every Christian I could. But on the road to Damascus, a light shone from heaven, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, why are you kicking against the goads? And Jesus said that you are going to be separated for the kingdom of God and for the purposes of God. And he lived his life dedicated to the cause and purposes of Christ. He understood what it is to take a life dedicated in a way not appointed by God. And he was broken there on the road. And God put those pieces together. God made something of his life, a testimony of his life, that in the very end, Paul could say, and listen, as this message sets in our hearts today, I hope we all can say, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. And there is laid up for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord our Savior will give to you, and not to you only, but also to all who love his appearing. Take me. Break me. Make me. Amen. If he does that, then he'll take you home. Let's stand, please. We'll close in prayer here, and then a couple of announcements. So Heavenly Father, we do thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you that Jesus is the bread of life. And thank you that we want to be like him. I thank you, God, for the youngest ones and to the oldest here today with us. God, you're present with us. We come with hearts of thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, and our young people as well, and myself included, I want more of God working in my life. John the Baptist said, less of me and more of Jesus. This morning, Lord, we say less of us and more of you. God, as you look at our lives, show us, teach us, lead us. And even in that period in time of brokenness, which happens many times through heartache, but in that, the sweetness of Jesus, the outpouring of your Spirit, the love of our Lord pours in our heart like we've never experienced before. And then we become what you've always designed us to be, servants, disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. If you've yet to really establish your walk with Christ, you may consider praying a prayer something like this. Dear Lord, I've never come to really know you as my Lord and my Savior. I realize I've sinned against you. This morning, I'm asking forgiveness from you for my sins. Please forgive me, Lord, today. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit, and please make me into the person you've designed me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.